Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome to this latest episode of the PCI podcast. Wherever you are and however you're listening, it's great to have you tuning in. I'm David Thompson, Secretary of PCI's Council for Congregational Life and Witness, and I'm going to be hosting this episode. It's exploring an aspect of a denomination-wide initiative called Present, which was launched at the 2024 General Assembly. Present is going to roll out over 3 years, so it's meant to be a bit of a slow burner. And in this church year, we're just trying to get a handle on the idea behind this theme. Present's meant to encourage congregations and things that we often sometimes take for granted as just the ordinary, regular things of our church life, but which actually turn out to be the usual ways in which God works his extraordinary grace into our hearts and lives. Even that doesn't happen by accident, though, does it? We need to set ourselves to be fully present in our participation in things like worship each week and fellowship together and our witness to others. Now, a previous podcast teased out some of what it means to be present to God as his people. But today we're moving on a bit and we're thinking about being present for one another in God's family of the church. That's about sharing our life and journey of faith together as members of a congregation. It's a pastoral thing. It's got a discipleship aspect, but it's also at its best when it is intergenerational. When church life really is an all-in, all-age family experience. And it's that which we're going to think about further in this episode. And so I'm delighted to be joined by Ruth Bromley, PCI's Children's Development Officer, and Graham Thompson, PCI's Youth Development Officer. These guys spend their lives responding to the questions that congregations are asking about this very thing and resourcing them to find their own ways to express this in their life. So Ruth and Graham, you're very welcome, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Hello.
Hi there.
So Ruth and Graham, everybody listening would probably say that the church and its ministry should be intergenerational. Of course it is. It sounds right. But what do we actually mean by intergenerational ministry? Ruth, what would you say to that?
For me, intergenerational ministry is one where everyone is involved in what's happening, not just physically present in that place. And I guess it's the difference between multi-generational and intergenerational. Multi-generational is when all generations are in the same place, maybe listening to someone at the front, they might be singing, but many in that, whether that's adults or children or whoever, might be passive or doing something else while whatever's happening. All generations in the same place, but not everything that's happening is necessarily aimed at or engaging everyone. Whereas intergenerational is, for me anyway, is when all generations are involved or encouraged to participate and are learning and being discipled together. Everyone has a part to play as far as possible, and they know each other, know who they are, and recognize each other. Adults are involved in every aspect, but so are children and young people. All have a place, all belong there, and all have a part to play, whether that's practically, prayerfully, simply by participating in worship and in church family.
I agree with you very much, Ruth, that it's not just about being in the same space, but it's a much more intentional thing. And I think relationships are right at the core of that. And from a young people's point of view, it's about enabling young people to have good relationships with people of different ages. And in that context, purposefully pursuing faith in Jesus together, being a two-directional thing, and that young people are sharing lives with adults beyond their youth leaders. But I often say to leaders that faith isn't passed on through programs, but it comes through relationships, and faith being modeled by adults, whether they have a formal leadership role or not. And that starts with just being with people and getting to know them. We once heard somebody say at a conference that faith is not passed on by doctrine and teaching, but by stories framed in doctrine. And creating a context where young people can hear adult stories of faith and get to know Christians of all ages is really important. Integration and intergenerational ministry is about young people being involved in church life and church being involved in young people's lives.
So why is this important in terms of what we believe and where we find ourselves in church life these days?
It's important because young people belong to the church now, not at some point in the future. And we've got to really get that message across, obviously, to young people, but to everyone. And that's because we need them. Malinel, who's a famous youth theologian, said that young people are an integral part of a congregational whole, and that whole is never complete without young people. So we need the abilities and the gifts that they have, but we just need their presence. And I think in this particular age, a lot of us are finding it more difficult to provide all the youth programs that we maybe once were able to. So we need to think hard about the places that young people are comfortable and can have that presence in the church context. If they don't feel that they're part of things now, let's be blunt, they won't stick around. But if they feel like they belong to us, then they're much more likely to remain in our churches.
Yeah, and I think churches now are smaller. I don't think we can avoid that. A lot of churches are smaller. There's less of everyone, less families, less children. And practically doing stuff together is just necessary now as well. It doesn't mean age-appropriate teaching and age-specific teaching shouldn't happen in what we do, because that's really important in discipling children, young people, where they are in terms of their faith. But I think we all need each other in church. I was reading a while ago and the talk a wee bit about this, about how church is the only place where families of with all the ages in a family come together. Normally parents are dropping our children or young people off at something, or parents are going somewhere else, but church is the one place that we all come together. And that's because we need to see each other in church. We need children need adults and teenagers in their lives. They need to see them worship. They need to see them read their Bible and pray. They need to see them involved in mission and discipleship, because that's what church is. They need to see communion happening and understand what's under that mysterious white cloth that appears in church sometimes, and see the mystery of that amazing sacrament we take part in. But adults also need children. It isn't a one-way street. They need to see children and young people, as Graham said, in church, worshipping, praying, learning to read the Bible, being involved at the front and behind the scenes, doing things, and having children and young people involved in all aspects of our church lives grows their faith and ours as they ask questions, challenge traditions, and show us how to live in today's culture in with their faith growing as disciples.
So there is a really important theology and kind of theory behind the idea of the intergenerational family of God's church. But I suppose the question that lots of us are asking is, what does that actually look like? What would that look like in our congregation? So Ruth, what does participating in intergenerational church look like for a child?
There's really simple things. I'm very into practical, what it can look like really practically for children to be involved. And things like singing songs in church that are familiar to them, not just in the children's part of the hymn book, but actually ones children know. Maybe they sing in children's ministry or in school. Schools are a brilliant way of children learning songs about Jesus, and learning them, and adults singing them in church, is great. Getting them to read the Bible in church and being okay if that's a children's version of the Bible, rather than maybe the one that's in the pews that's maybe harder for them to understand, but just allowing them to read their Bible and read their stories. Have them on the welcome team of church, that it's not just adults welcoming people, but children welcoming children can be really, children welcoming adults can be really powerful into church as well. Letting them maybe sit with the AV team if that's their thing. Asking them their opinion on different things in church. Let them help with the tea and coffee, Rhoda, obviously with adults and appropriate supervision. But then, more significantly than just those really practical things that help them be visible and feel their part, give opportunities for adults in church to learn their name, to know who they are, to have people pray for them regularly, and to ask them to pray for others in church. Ask them what it's like to be their age as a follower of Jesus, what it's like in school as they try to live out their faith really simply, and how people can pray for them. It's not about wheeling them into church to do performances and to just be seen, but it's about letting them participate in just the normal, everyday, week life of the church and just be as much a part of that in a way that's appropriate for their age, the same way that adults are involved or teenagers.
So there's a lot of really simple stuff there, but not the kind of thing that you can do without having to think about it either. That sounds really good to me. And I think that's true for all generations in this family of the church, isn't it? That it's very easy just to think about your age and stage of life and what faith looks like for you and the particular challenges or opportunities of faith in your age and stage of life. But we have to work quite hard. Either to reach down for children and young people sometimes if we're kind of middle-aged, or reach up for the older generation as well. So there's something really important there. Graham, you've already hinted at the fact that people are concerned about losing their young people to church. So what might experiencing church as intergenerational look like for young people? And how is that part of something that encourages them to stick around?
Yeah, I mean that's a really key issue in people's minds. And I agree with what you said a wee while ago, Ruth, that this conversation is not instead of age-specific programs, whether it be children or young people. Those still really matter in terms of how we reach and disciple and nurture young people. But that's not enough, and it never was enough. It's about those things that we've been talking about, how young people are included in the whole life of the congregation, and they know that they belong. They're not waiting for a time that they're allowed in, and they're sort of kept out in the cold in their own programs. That's a mindset that we all need to have, and something that we all need to share and take responsibility for, whether we have a leadership role or a specific responsibility or not. And I think having a value and a sense of being part of intergenerational church does often, as you were saying, Ruth, mean having something to do, being needed in a specific way. That in its at a basic level will mean young people will turn up. If someone is relying on them to be part of a rota or to help with something, it makes a huge difference. And there's lots of ways that young people can be involved in worship and in the weekly normal patterns of church life. In fact, if we can ask of every area of church life, can young people serve here, not just on special occasions? I think that's a really good question to ask. And usually the answer is yes. We may have to make a little bit of accommodation, but I think that's important, and it was important for each of us as we grew up. I also agree with what you said. It's not just about young people feeling included, but being known for who they are. And that might mean things like celebrating things, you know, just like a biological family celebrates things when specific things and stages and points of life journey happen. Churches can do that too. And helping them find their place in church, I think, is also important. And you mentioned communion, Ruth, but I think there's a lot of stuff that we do that feels a little bit strange, just even expecting young people to the point that they're sitting and listening to a sermon. You know, how do we help them understand that? How do we help them know what's going on? Do a simple thing like the minister using an illustration that connects into young people's lives can make a huge difference. So I guess bottom line in this, I often think it should be as hard for a young person to leave their church as it is for them to leave their own family. And if they, even if they get up and go away for work or university at a later stage, they should still see church like a family, and identify there. And if we can get them to feel like that, then I think we're doing a really good job in that.
So listen to you both on this one. It strikes me that the one moment in most churches' lives that the whole intergenerational family is together is on Sunday morning in worship. And whenever some people hear this idea of intergenerational, they probably think we're saying that You really need to dumb down everything that you do. But I think I hear you saying that in some senses, what needs to happen is that we encourage children and young people in worship to reach up. There's going to be some stuff that they're going to find hard to grasp. They're going to have to reach up and they're going to have to stretch themselves. But also, I think I heard you saying, Graham, in terms of illustrations and sermons and things, we need to make sure that we're also reaching down and that there's something that happens in that stretching up and reaching down that almost makes it intergenerational. Any thoughts on that or what that might look like?
There's a lovely phrase that I've heard. I don't know where it came from, but it applies to children's ministry and youth ministry, that we need to give children and young people big truths to grow into and not little truths to grow out of. And I think when we're thinking about their place in a church service, I think that's a good thing to bear in mind. We don't want to magically just assume that they will absorb all of this. I think we do have to meet them halfway and explain some things. And I know a lot of churches who will try and find some practical way to help young people unpack the sermon or prepare them and work with the minister to kind of make sure, do you understand this? Have you any questions? And that takes a wee bit of effort. But I think, if we are expecting them to learn in the same way as adults, just to flick a switch, that doesn't work. It doesn't work in any other area of life. But I think if we make a bit of effort to try and check on the learning, but not watering down that learning, not making it any smaller, but allowing them to grow into that.
Yeah, and I think one of the ways in children's ministry is even connecting what's happening in the service with what's happening in children's ministry. Whether it's your children's address that's connected to what the children are doing, maybe when they leave during the service, allows leaders to help them to unpack some of the stuff that's said in church in a way that's really age specific for them and help them answer any questions that are going on. I think also we underestimate how children learn and how much they learn. Whenever you see what children are learning in school, I think sometimes we assume that they can't learn in the same way in church about the Bible. And so we do dumb it down at times. But actually, when we see what they learn in school and how stretched they are and how much more they learn now even than we did when we were in school, if we compared those two things and taught in church the same way, we would see children's and young people's faith grow even more because they're learning more. And it would just have an impact on who they are and the place they have and how they live out their faith.
Yeah, so much of what you're saying is less about great gifts and skills from the front, and so much more about a mindset and an intentionality about just engaging with children and young people and trying to do that in formal ways in worship and informal ways in the space around that in the family of the church. And so it is important, isn't it, that people don't hear this and think, oh, this could only happen in churches that have lots of children and lots of young people and lots of leaders who are really gifted at the front and can run programs. We've no hope in our wee church. What would you say to that?
Actually think in many ways this can be easier in smaller churches than in bigger churches. I've worked in some small churches and been involved in many in this job, and I think they're able to do things better at times than churches that are better resourced, even though sometimes they think they're not. They just do things differently, and they can involve children in more regularly in week by week services and in other aspects of the church sometimes than bigger ones. Not that bigger ones should use that as an excuse to not involve children. You can pray for them regularly. Sometimes they can get to know children even better, and have them take part in different activities and relationships and community, whether it's a big church or a small church, are just so important to try and make those as deep as possible. And often in small churches, you still have to make the effort that quite often everybody knows everybody, but actually to properly get to know children and to walk in faith with them, you still need to put that effort in. But you can get a deeper relationship with less at times. And I would say it doesn't just always come naturally in every situation. Small churches need to not as just assume children are included and things are intergenerational because we're there. It's that multi-generational versus intergenerational again. We need to make sure we're intentional about making them feel a part of the family, whether it's a big place or a small place or somewhere in the middle. And when children are included and involved, they can have a significant impact on the discipleship of the adults in the congregation. I kind of hinted at that a little bit earlier on. And I heard of one church recently who were using the new prayer resource that we had produced with the adults. And the children were introduced to some of the ideas of praying out loud and having the confidence to do that in the children's ministry. And when the adults saw the children doing that and actually putting the effort in of praying out loud and doing that, they were challenged that actually they could do it as well if the children could. And so they did. And to have children teaching adults how to do something when it was kind of, well, let's give this a go over here as well. And just to see the discipleship of both age groups being encouraged by that. And I've seen children take really seriously the role of reading in church, picking a song that everyone sings together, helping with the tea and coffee, helping with the floors, and their enthusiasm in having a part to play when this intergenerational stuff happens well can really challenge and encourage the adults around them. And whether they're middle-aged or older, or whether they're teenagers, this that challenge and encouragement can be huge when this is done well.
Yeah, I totally agree with all that. And I think I don't want to be harsh in any way, but I think we can all make excuses and give reasons not to do this. And often that maybe just shows our own hearts as adults, and we don't like to change, and we don't like things that put us out a bit. But this kind of thing is not about the size of congregation we are or the resources that we have. It's about making small steps, trying things out, and anybody can do that. It's about us doing what we do in our normal patterns of church life and thinking, how can we involve young people in this? They have a lot to offer, and it's not about us dropping our standards or making things more difficult. It's actually about enriching congregational life. And I think it's about I suppose our collective story, an integral part of who we are, that we believe as covenant believing churches that we are the people of God together, and that means the people of all ages. And if we have barriers to age, if we have stratas, and if we look down upon children and young people, then we're not really being the church in the way that God intended. And I think we need to take a step back and examine ourselves in that. But if our culture and our language is important too, if we use a language that talks about the church family and talks about children and young people in an inclusive way, as well as we do of other generations, that just seeps into our subconscious, and we it will affect the way we do things.
Yeah, I mean, I hear both of you saying that a lot of this is caught as well as taught. So just being around the family as a child or a young person, you pick up not only what Christians believe, but how Christians behave in the family and how Christians belong in the family and what Christians do and what Christians say and the value of that. That you have to share with your friends who don't go to church, who aren't Christians, who don't come from that Christian home, is just enormous. But a lot of it is caught as well as taught. I suppose reflecting on this as I get older, I find it really hard to put myself in the shoes of a child or a young person because the world that they're growing up in is not the world that I inhabited as a child or a young person. I just have a real sense that it's completely different. And because of that, I think sometimes those of us who are older kind of have lost any confidence that we can have any impact on the life of today's children or young people because we just don't get it. We don't understand it. We feel, we can't inhabit their world. What would you say to somebody then like that feels like that? And how can they just do little things that makes a child or a young person really feel part of God's family of the
Yeah,
church?
I do think, and this is on all of us, there's things that we can all do, because I think when do young people feel part of God's family? I think it's when they're known and called by name. You mentioned name earlier, Ruth, and I think that's important. Just a simple thing when they're needed, when they're noticed, if they're not there, you know, that makes a difference. And that can't be on certain people. That's got to be on everybody. I think when young people have a voice and are listened to, that makes them feel that they're part of God's family. And again, that can happen in a formal way through church leadership, but I think it can happen when another person in the congregation just takes time to ask them what they think about something, or just to be genuinely interested in something that matters to them. Even if you're thinking, I have no clue what Minecraft is or what, you know, the sport that you're interested in is, but they just like an earthly grandparent or uncle or aunt will take time, you know, at a family gathering to listen to what's important to young people. We need to do that in church life. And I think young people feel part of a church family when they feel comfortable having conversations with people of any age.
Yeah, and I think children need the knowledge that they have a place in church family, as well as the security of children's ministry. Do you know, sometimes being with adults can be quite intimidating if you're 6 or 7, but knowing that that's a place where they have a place to be and they belong, but actually also have the security of then maybe going and being elsewhere with just children is really important to have that. They need to know they can be themselves and make noise. I think parents need to know that as well, that it's okay that children can make noise in church so that they're comfortable being there. And I heard a story recently of someone, and I remember doing this years ago in a church that I worked in, where we gave the children cameras to take photos of what they saw in church on a Sunday morning. And I mean, there were photos of just general things that they saw, but actually a lot of them were off the backs of people's heads, because where children stood, they couldn't see properly. And even just thinking about the physical environment of our church sometimes can, when you're tiny, it looks very different to if you're an adult. And maybe we need to think sometimes about that and how we help children be seen. I'd also add that church isn't just about being inside that building that we go to on a Sunday morning or during the week. And actually being part of the church family is maybe about when you see children on the street in your town and saying hello, not just to their parents, but to them. Or if you have the opportunity and you're doing school runs and you're going into school to drop or pick up children, to make sure you look out for the other children in the church and just say hello to them during the week and call them by name. Knowing that being a Christian and living out our faith isn't just for that, either being on a Sunday or if we're at something during the week in that building, but actually the fact that we care about them and they belong to our church family happens during the week as well. If we see them out and about, that doesn't always happen, but just if you get the chance to see them, just to make sure you call them by name and ask them how they are and say hello is can have as much of an impact as doing it on a Sunday morning.
Families are really important in this as well, aren't they? And maybe in the past in church life, we just assumed that the family was a stable base for children to learn Monday through to Saturday, as well as on Sunday, what it was to be a Christian. Or now, sometimes I think we've discovered that's an assumption that we got wrong, and that we need to think a bit more about how we encourage families and how we can help families. Can you say a wee bit about that?
Yeah, I suppose for children, which might at times be different to teenagers, most of the time on a Sunday morning, children come with someone in their family, whether that's parents or grandparents. And so families that, you know, family is such a massive part of how they attend church. And at baptism, we make these incredible promises as congregations to support parents as they bring their children up. And that may be through providing really good children's ministry, where we effectively communicate with parents about what we're doing, involving children in the life of the church, and building those relationships between parents and other parents as well. Maybe parents at the same stage, or parents a little bit, or maybe much further down the line in their parenting journey, who can support new parents or parents of young children. Maybe you're just feeling a bit worn out. The Kitchen Table Project is part of Care for the Family. And sometimes we need resources to help us know how to best do that. And The Kitchen Table Project is a really good resource to help congregations to connect families and parents and to support them. And the idea is to get parents either literally or metaphorically round a kitchen table together to talk about what it's like to be a parent, what share stories, advice, and talk together about the journey of raising children in faith. And they have all sorts of sessions that parents can do together, but also just blogs and stories and some all-age service plans to help congregations think about how to share faith across the generations. A word about grandparents. We often think, when we think of families, we often think about parents and children. But actually, when I look around our church and other congregations that I visit, I often see children who come to church with their grandparents, not their parents. Or else there's multiple generations of the same family that sit together, which is also a beautiful picture of what the church is like. And I think grandparents are an incredible resource in our congregations who maybe can have more time to share their faith with their grandchildren or other children in church. Maybe you could invite them out to your children's ministry to share their story with children. But I think they also need to be supported to keep going and encouraged to share that story of their faith, that they have this influence on their family to share stories of how God has worked in our lives or in their lives with the others. And I think when we look at congregations, there are lots of grandparents. And I think the influence they can have in this intergenerational church idea is something that we need to not forget and make use of.
Yeah, that the family system is always important, isn't it? And I think as young people get older, the role of parents does change. As a father of two teenagers, I'm discovering that rapidly, that my role is different, and the role of not just other youth leaders but the wider church is different. And I think we need to really bear that in mind in how we engage with parents of teenagers, and that increased sense of partnership between parents, formal leadership, and just the wider church. And I think something to keep in mind too is particularly families where they're not actively involved in our church. And that's an opportunity, if your teenagers or if their teenagers are involved in one of our programs, to think about how we can connect into that family. Because being a parent of a teenager is not getting any easier. And I think often they're just crying out for any support and help and equipping, whether that be as a Christian parent thinking, how do I walk in faith with my teenager, or just as a parent, any parent, because it's just an increasingly complex world in which our young people grow up. And we, through our website, we have a few resources that either directly for parents or for churches to make available to parents to support and encourage them in that. And there's organizations, you mentioned Kitchen Table. Legacy Fathers is an organization that provides programs for congregations, as they say, to help faith and fatherhood thrive. Andy Lamberton, who heads up that organization, often says fathers are more important than you think. And they do programs like Men Behaving Dadly and Legacy Days that are there to just, I suppose, build that discipling relationship between fathers and children. And you can find out more about them at their website, legacyfathers.org. But we don't need to go to loads of trouble to do that. If we have a way of connecting with parents, we can throw a resource or an idea or a podcast or an article onto a WhatsApp group or whatever, that just might be something that helps parents know that they're supported and part of our bigger church family, and that they, we're all in this together, so to speak.
Ruth and Graham, it's clear you're thinking about this all the time in the roles that you play in PCI. You're hearing all those questions that come from people on the ground. You're hearing stories of what churches are trying to do. And as you do all that, is there a verse or passage from the Bible that you find particularly teaching or encouraging or inspiring, or that you come back to when you're thinking about this?
those who know me might expect me to answer this in a particular way. I mentioned covenant theology, and I think that's important. But actually, I find myself more often when I'm talking about this, talking in the context of a very basic verse when Paul talks to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 12, and he says, "You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And when I'm thinking in this context, I just think each one of you is part of it. And that doesn't matter how young or what status you have, you're necessary to be part of the body of Christ. And I think if we're thinking about intergenerational ministry, that's a really helpful picture, particularly when Paul talks about, parts of the body that are looked on differently and are seen differently, that we see that young people are part of our body and in the local church and in the wider church.
A bit like Graham, there's probably verses that we could use that we use quite commonly, but the one that I keep coming back to is probably a bit different as well. And it's Hebrews 10, 23-25 that says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another." And I guess it's that idea of knowing the hope we have is for all generations, within our church families and communities, and that it's all a part of all of us to play to challenge each other and encourage each other and meet together, to learn and worship. That's all ages, not just adults, not just those who understand every word, but from babies in arms through the oldest in our congregations, all need encourage to persevere and be reminded of our hope in Jesus and to share that together.
So both of those verses are great examples of this theme that we're trying to unfold here about being present for one another in God's family of the church. So that's just so helpful. Ruth and Graham, thanks so much. And thanks to you for tuning in. We hope there's been something in this conversation that helps you think fresh thoughts about the whole idea of church as an intergenerational family. Before we finish, don't forget you can keep up to date with everything that's going on in the life of PCI through our social media channels on Facebook, Instagram, and X. And you can also sign up to receive our regular equip email that will notify you of upcoming PCI events and resources at presbyterianireland.org/equip. And why not check out the present initiative on the PCI web page and find out a whole lot more about this important theme that we're going to be living with for a while as a denomination. That's all for this episode. Do keep an eye out for future episodes of the podcast and join us again next time. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.